Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save, fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia's a very big favorite against South Carolina tomorrow, and a lot has been said this week about certain things, about Gamecocks, or I should say Georgia, not giving up a rushing touchdown thus far this year and kind of everything involved with that. You might think, based on all the chatter, that South Carolina fans don't give themselves much of a chance on Saturday. But in at least one instance, there's a little more confidence kind of coming out of Gamecock Nation or whatever they call it than you might expect. I have seen this article passed around the internet a little bit this week. A lot of South Carolina fans using this as kind of a way of feeling pretty good about what might happen against Georgia on Saturday. So much so that I thought it was at least worth bringing it to y'all's attention here today. And I think it actually does give us a pretty good starting point for a conversation that one way or another is probably worth having. Hale McGranahan is a good reporter covering the Gamecocks, friend of the show. He's been with us a few times before. And he wrote something this week that South Carolina fans apparently just loved because I've seen it on social media a bunch. Let me read this to you real quick. Hale, writing for 247sports.com, says Georgia hasn't exactly faced a murderer's row of rushing attacks so far this season. He's saying that in response to the fact that Georgia, statistically speaking, has been pretty good, including, as I said before, not allowing a rushing touchdown thus far this season. Only team in America who can say that. However, Hale goes on to write for 247 Sports, and Gamecocks fans are loving it, that the South Carolina is averaging 203.8 yards per game and 6.07 yards per carry. He says the Gamecocks have the 38th best rushing offense in the country in terms of yards per game, and they're 7th in America when it comes to yards per carry. So South Carolina fans, you don't have to look very far to see this. Message boards, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else are saying, hey, this Georgia rush defense is statistically pretty good right now, but they've only faced Tennessee. They've only faced Vanderbilt. They've only faced Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a top 10 team, but not great running the football. They haven't seen running backs like Rico Dowdle and Tavian Feaster. They haven't seen what they're going to bring to the table, and Gamecocks fans think they're going to come into Athens and run the ball a little bit on Saturday. Now, in fairness here for a moment, this is one of the areas in which South Carolina, despite the fact that its record's not great, just 2-3, this is one of the areas that has seemingly improved on in 2019 compared to 2018. And frankly, kind of the last couple of games, Kentucky most recently, also compared to the beginning of the season, too. In fact, Gamecocks coach Will Muschamp talked about that point, about the fact all of a sudden they are feeling a little bit better about themselves as a team when it comes to running the ball. Here's Muschamp for this week.
You know, obviously gives you confidence. You know, you go to Missouri and don't run the ball very well, and they did a nice job with some things, and we weren't as effective as we need to be. And then we rushed the ball well against Kentucky. So we've brings you some more confidence, and we ran the ball well against Alabama, and then we've just been inconsistent, obviously, in the one game against Missouri of running the football.
And if you watch that South Carolina-Missouri game, that was a bad day for the Gamecocks. But other than that, they have been playing a bit better. I think it's pretty clear they're the second-best team that Georgia's played up to this point in time in the season, better than Tennessee, better than Vanderbilt, better than the two other non-conference games the Dogs have played other than Notre Dame. This is probably the second-best team that Georgia's seen, and Feaster and Dowdle are kind of a big reason for that. As far as the reasons why suddenly South Carolina is running the ball better, now you might say, well, maybe just because Kentucky's not very good. But other than that, though, Muschamp did kind of prescribe the reasons why suddenly we're seeing a little bit better effort from the Gamecocks on the ground. Here is more from the guy they call Coach Boom.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think, you know, schematically, number one, you know, a mindset of physicality and what you want to be, and that's what we want to be. We want to be able to run the football and stay balanced offensively. I think it's really important to have balance offensively, because when you get too one-dimensional in our league against the schedule we have, it's going to be very difficult to move the football if you're just running it all the time or throwing it all the time. To be able to create balance is really important, and that's something we want to be able to do. You got to have talented runners, because you're not going to be able to put a hat on a hat everybody in the run game. Guys got to be able to run through contact, make a guy miss. Those are all things that I think figure into to being successful in running the ball.
Couple things here for me on this. First of all, over the last couple of years, and you may have a different opinion, but this is my opinion, I think you can make a case that South Carolina has maybe been among the SEC's most disappointing teams and disappointing programs over the course of the last couple of years. There's been a wide open competition in the SEC East to be that team like right underneath Georgia, and all of a sudden now Florida's building itself back up for a bit. But that's been an open door for a while. Gamecocks haven't been able to walk through that door, and I believe the absence of a running game may be the number one reason why. So it's interesting to hear them talking so much about running the football this week when that really has been the Achilles heel of this program for a bit. And I think it's interesting that Muschamp says this is going to be more about just blocking and being physical at the line of scrimmage, because you're not going to be as physical as every team you play on every single snap, every single time. That's actually a pretty astute observation, I believe, from Muschamp. And he says you got to have individual running backs who can shake off would-be tacklers and make something happen with their own legs. And in the case of Feaster, the Clemson transfer, and Dowdle at this stage of his career, this is probably a better collection of running backs than the Gamecocks have had up to this point under Will Muschamp. And so while I probably don't buy into what South Carolina fans think they have a chance to do against Georgia, certainly this is an aspect of the Gamecocks program that's probably a little bit improved compared to where it's been over the last couple of years. And as Muschamp also explained this week, if you can run the football better, even against a team like Georgia that's kind of the more elite category of defense, it actually takes a lot of pressure off Ryan Helinski, the quarterback, who, as all of you know, is a true freshman. Here's Will Muschamp one more time.
Number one, to help Ryan as a young player at that position, to be able to run the football helps an awful lot. So you don't get into a one-dimensional. You change the launch point for the quarterback and those sort of things. So I think that's really important. But that's something, we want to be balanced. That's what we want to be able to do. And then going on the road, especially in this sort of game, you need to be able to have some balance in the run game.
So as I said before, kind of the genesis for a lot of this talk from South Carolina is the fact they're going to try to keep that success going against a Georgia team that statistically has been very good against the run this year. And if you're a Georgia hater or a Georgia critic, you'll say, yeah, but what are the rushing offenses that Georgia has faced that has led to the success the Dogs have had defensively? And that might be a fair question. It's going to take the rest of the season for us to determine that one way or another. However, here's one of the things that UGA fans like about Kirby Smart. Even though, statistically speaking, Georgia seems to have a little bit of a reason to feel pretty good about itself, not yielding a rushing touchdown this year, for instance, only team in America who can say that, you might think Georgia, or at least some people might think, certain college football teams in that situation might sit back, rest on their laurels just a bit. But Smart this week wasn't doing that. Even though statistically almost everything you can point to says Georgia's getting it done and doing a good job against the run this season, that doesn't stop Kirby Smart from wanting to, as the catchphrase has gone all year long, do more when it comes to the rushing game. Here is Smart with maybe a little bit of a retort to all of this and what he still wants to see from a group that, statistically speaking, has been pretty good, Kirby Smart.
We haven't fit things real well all the time, and we haven't tackled the way we're supposed to, especially in space. Some of that comes off passing game, but we have to play better in space. We have to be a better tackling team, and that comes from perimeter runs from running backs. So, I'm not pleased with how we have played as far as contact and contact toughness. We have to improve on that and get better, because as a whole, when you watch football in general, tackling tends to go downhill as the season goes. And we can't let that happen. A lot of that starts with our defensive line controlling it from getting out of there.
The other thing that kind of faces Georgia going into this week, the issues with the fact that now in consecutive games, you've seen Georgia facing a halftime deficit, losing at Tennessee a week ago, facing a bit of a deficit against Notre Dame. That's probably the other issue facing Georgia right now. So as it attempts to stop the South Carolina running game, it's also attempting to just get off to a little bit faster start. At least that's what a lot of fans hope for and a lot of media have been paying attention to. Smart did talk about his perspective on the so-called fast or slow starts for Georgia. Let's hear Kirby on that.
Well, I didn't say that we had slow starts. I never said that. I said defensively, maybe we need to start better. But if you look back at our starts, I would say that the offense started pretty well. You know what I mean? So don't put the broad thing in my mouth that I said the whole team started slow. I don't know that you can say the offense started any slower against Tennessee. They went down and scored. They didn't. They scored a touchdown, right? Then they had a couple field goals. So I think our opening drives have been pretty good. Notre Dame, not as good, but I thought defensively we did start good. So it's been one or the other and not both. It hasn't matched up. The elaboration would be play better at the start of the game. How do you do that? You prepare better. How do you prepare better? You spend more time in the meeting room. You help them understand that the anxiety they may have or the execution they got to have is premium at a high level. We started the game against Tennessee with probably five or six defensive bust arrows, just mistakes. You can't do that. But we didn't do that with Notre Dame. We didn't start with arrows. They made some good plays, but we didn't start them with arrows.
Let me see if I can wrap all this up here for a moment. If it's a noon start against South Carolina, Georgia big favorite, maybe you're not all that motivated, at least as much as you were for the last home game against Notre Dame. Here are a couple things to think about for tomorrow. Can Georgia really stop this South Carolina running game that all of a sudden feels like it's doing a little bit better? Can it overall get off to a faster start on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball? I think those are pretty interesting evaluation points for UGA fans. A fun day to be between the hedges and kind of a curious day to see if Georgia can continue to take steps towards being the team it needs to be in what is a little bit of a step up in weight class compared to the Tennessee Vols from last week. So I'm looking forward to it. Hope you are as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And we are brought to you by Kroger today. Of course, always great to have them a part of our program. And, of course, it's great to feel like true, legitimate fall weather when you go outside. And, of course, with that in mind, you start thinking about the pumpkin stuff. And the pumpkin flavors are back at Kroger right now. You can get some big savings on all this. Let me tell you more about it. Everything pumpkin-related you can get big savings on, whether it be pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin pies, even pumpkin-scented candles. Kroger is going to definitely get you going for the fall season. So make sure you check out that at Kroger. I'm sure many of you are getting ready to carve those pumpkins, make some jack-o'-lanterns and everything else. You can get all of that at Kroger. Now, we're going to get Jeff Sintel in a moment. I'm going to tell you kind of a cool thing I have kind of noticed about Georgia and its effort at being more explosive. We'll do all that coming up in just a bit. Before that, I told y'all yesterday I was going to make a big announcement today, and man, I'm really excited to be able to do it. Y'all, we are bringing back Dog Nation Invasion. Dog Nation Invasion is returning to Jacksonville this year for a major tailgate experience, and we want all of you to be a part of it. And what's even better than that, when you sign up to be a part of this year's Dog Nation Invasion to Jacksonville, courtesy of our friends at Kroger and R.S. Andrews, for the first 150 people, this is a while supplies last type of thing, for the first 150 people, we are going to print an entire new run and be giving out Gator Hater t-shirts. Many of you have said, B.A., I didn't get a Gator Hater t-shirt when you guys done these before. When are you going to print some again? The answer has always been, I don't know. It's whenever I can get my bosses to kind of get going on all this kind of stuff. Well, the answer is now. Everybody's on board with this. The Georgia-Florida game this year looks to be as big as it has been in quite some time, and we are really, really excited about Dog Nation Invasion to Jacksonville. Obviously, it's November 2nd. The tailgate experience itself is from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. there that day. For those of you who are part of Dog Nation Express, you know how we do it. We do it big, including food, beverage, entertainment, the whole thing. I'm going to be there. Jeff Sintel's going to be there. Mike Griffith's stopping by. Our buddy Connor Riley, of course, going to be on hand there as well. And for the first 150 people to sign up, you're going to get yourself a Gator Hater t-shirt. This is going to be amazing. For more details on all this, and you can sign up starting right now. We are taking those sign-ups, and these are going to go fast. Every one of these things we do has sold out really quickly. That's not me just, you know, being a carnival barker and offering puffery. This really is true. These things have sold out amazingly fast. So the website you want to go to is DogNationInvasion.com. Couldn't be easier to remember. DogNationInvasion.com, and be a part of our Dog Nation Invasion to Jacksonville coming up in a couple of weeks when we stick it to those lousy stinking Gators as a true Gator hater would. Can't wait to see all of you there for that. All right, before that, let's go around the doghouse here for a moment. It is brought to you by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and I'm running a little bit late. I was going to play another Kirby Smart clip. Let me just hold off on that for right now and kind of just deal with something else. So a lot of talk this week about, is Georgia going to be more explosive offensively? Are they going to dial up the passing game a bit more in games like Saturday against South Carolina, where you don't really necessarily need that to win the game, but do you do it just because you want to, or do you do it just because you think it's going to make you better in the games that matter most? So let me see if I can identify one particular area. Once again, if you're kind of looking for a reason to pay attention tomorrow, looking for something to watch for closely, looking for something to see, I think this is kind of an example of that. Watch Georgia on second downs tomorrow. And one of the places where I get this is from our friends at Pro Football Focus. I had a really interesting article on Jake Fromm, kind of praising him and touting him as maybe the top quarterback in the sport here this year. And in the midst of that, they kind of got into the issue of, well, how much is Georgia going to use Fromm? And are they going to kind of turn him loose and let him do some of the things he does best? To me, the specific definition of that was found in a stat that Pro Football Focus provided. Let me show you this on the screen here for a moment. So according to Brent Rollins, writer for Pro Football Focus, Georgia's committed to the running game in one of the least efficient situations to be, Rollins writes, on second down and long. He says their run play percentage on second and 7 or more yards to go is 51.4%, and that's the fifth highest in college football. So Georgia, according to Rollins of Pro Football Focus, is running on second and long more so than almost all of the teams in college football. Now, obviously, Georgia's going to likely be pretty successful in one of those running plays. But if you want to be more explosive, if you want to have more big passing plays down the field, taking advantage of opportunities where defenses don't necessarily expect that from you, that may be an opportunity to exploit, including second long. So pay attention tomorrow during the game when it's 2nd and 7 or 2nd and 8. On some of those instances for Georgia, they've run the ball a pretty good bit to set up a more 3rd and medium or 3rd and short situation. But is that an opportunity for Georgia to throw the ball against the Gamecocks and against future opponents? I think that stat's actually pretty interesting and probably worth paying attention to against South Carolina tomorrow. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And listen, the divorce process can be scary and confusing, but I can promise you this, that your source for Georgia divorce are our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, because they have handled these kinds of cases thousands of times before. That means they have developed a level of expertise to solve your problems and give you situation-specific advice that can get you feeling good about your situation again, whether it comes to your finances, your family, or kind of anything else. They have been through this before, and they can be an advocate on your side going through this right now. As I said before, they are your source for Georgia divorce. So make sure you check them out online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. Once again, that's theatlantadivorceteam.com. It's Merriweather and Tharp. All right, good to have you with us today. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. I'm going to do a little bit more on Jake Fromm a little bit later on in our program. But for now, on a busy weekend for UGA recruiting, hosting some folks for South Carolina, some would-be Georgia targets taking some visits other places themselves. Let's find out a little bit more about this. We talked to Jeff Sintow.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And it is Jeff Sintel, of course, every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. We're talking to him, and we are finding out what's going on in the world of recruiting. And Jeff, really appreciate you being a part of our program today, and I hope that you are doing well and getting ready for an interesting weekend between the hedges in Athens on Saturday.
Hey, Brandon, man, I'm great. And I guess it's good to see the traction. I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but it's good to see the traction of Georgia fans wanting to hold up three fingers for Helsinki's hope this weekend. I just kind of seem to me like a Georgia thing to do, and I'm glad some of the fan base is thinking about that.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Obviously, the Helsinki family's been through a lot, and of course, Georgia fans have a lot of compassion when it comes to situations like this. And so, you know, they never miss that opportunity to step up and show support. And I guess with the Helsinki family, another example of that here this weekend. And it's also, a weekend for Georgia to, you know, host some recruits and kind of get back to the business of doing that again after the bye week and the road trip, and obviously a huge showing for the Notre Dame game. I'm assuming a little bit of a smaller list for the South Carolina game, but one of the names that you did mention at Dog Nation Daily this week, a pretty interesting prospect out of IMG Academy as far as the 2021 class goes, Lavoisier Carroll. Jeff, I guess introduce our audience a little bit to Carroll and kind of set the stage for his visit. And if you don't mind, I guess also allow that to piggyback for some of the other folks who are going to be in attendance here this weekend.
Yeah, so there's a you know, it's a 12 o'clock kickoff. It's very hard to do with young men that play football games late on Friday night and have to get to Athens by 9 a.m. Not everyone is an early riser like Brandon with his bacon, egg, and cheese. So Lavoisier's there. I mean, this kid was running at 10.8 and 100 meters when he was back in 2018. Now, he's one of those guys that has moved on to IMG Academy. See Isaac Nauta, see Nolan Smith. See Warren Brimson as well. And this, to me, is kind of the guy that IMG really flourishes in getting. He came from a Warren County program. He was a screaming devil in Warrenton, Georgia. That's about maybe 30, 40 miles away from Augusta. And that was a high school program, single-A program, has only won like 15 games in the last 5 or 6 seasons, doesn't have a lot of facilities and resources. You know, sometimes we scratch our head when prospects leave strong, you know, vibrant high school programs in the state of Georgia, like a Colquitt County or Roswell or a Walton or a Buford, you know, lots of schools like that, North Gwinnett. I can name about 10 or 15 more. But when someone goes from a small school where they don't see a lot of Division I competition or face Division I athletes, in practice. You can kind of see where that happens a lot more. Mbassie is the number 8 running back in the country. I find it uniquely ironic that he's there for Georgia, rooting on a team that he grew up pulling for on the TV on Saturdays while they're facing the SEC East school that he was committed to for about 4 or 5 months earlier this year. Currently the number 8 running back, I think he's 136 overall in the 2021 class. He's an IMG ascender, so we know he's going to come out of that program ready to contribute early in college. And it sounds like Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State, those are some of the schools that are really impressing him right now. And he just put Georgia in his final 8 of sorts earlier this week.
So it sounds like to me, you know, if you want to go back a year ago when the 2019 class was still taking shape, we already had a little bit of an idea who Georgia would be chasing down to the running back position for 2020. That pecking order was seemingly somewhat established a year ago. However, if you look right now ahead to 2021, maybe it's because running back is such a priority for the 2020 class, it doesn't seem like there's nearly as much certainty about running backs for the following cycle. I guess it depends on, you know, how many Georgia needs and how many it gets for this class, and I guess there are probably a lot of reasons for that. But is it an accurate statement on my part to say that a year ago we knew a whole lot more about 2020 than we do looking ahead to 2021 right now?
Very accurate. I think it's because of need. I think with Georgia, if they get 2, then obviously Georgia's only going to take 1 in the 2021 class. And I think that pecking order kind of feels like, I think Evan Pryor's there. I think Mbassie Carroll is there. I think Cody Brown, who's also going to be there at Parkview, a really strong academic kid, is also going to be there as well for the 2021. And I think, you know, Georgia's probably only going to take 1 guy in the 2021 class. At least that's the insight we have on that matter right now. To further answer your question, you know, Broderick Jones is going to be there. It's going to be always big to have that 5-star tackle who rarely takes visits in Athens on Saturday. The current plan is for him to be there. Tate Ratledge is always there for home games. David Daniel, the 2021 safety, big hitter out of Woodstock High School, that will be his first game as a UGA commit that he'll come back home to Sanford Stadium to check out.
Nice.
Another intriguing name I want to just throw in everybody's wheelhouse a little bit. Now, this is seems to be an ideal Georgia kid. He's out of Greater Atlanta Christian. Addison Nichols, he's a guy that's a 4.0 kid. I think he's 6'6", 290 pounds. He's a Beta Club guy. He's a National Junior Merit Scholar. He's also an Eagle Scout. Sometimes he's had to miss some school visits, game visits so far this year because he's working on Eagle Scout projects. And, man, you like all that combination with a young player when he's also an FBU All-American and he's also the nation's number 6 offensive tackle in the country for 2020. Now, there'll be names there. There'll be a lot of guys coming in. I think, you know, take this for what you want, but there's a young man who grew up in the Atlanta area, grew up in Georgia, Jaden Davis. And this might be a first for the Dog Nation Daily program. I don't normally like to trot out 2024s and 14-year-old quarterbacks
sure.
at times, but Jaden Davis is a 14-year-old name that folks need to know. He wasn't actually in the 2023 class, but he was a young 2023 by and large, since he's just 14 years old right now. Just turned 14, I believe, in August. But he reclassified to 2024. He will be in Athens again on Saturday, on tomorrow. And I have a rough estimate that by the time the 2024 recruiting cycle comes around, which will probably be in the year 2023, I think Brandon Adams will probably only say the name Jaden Davis about 1,900 times. So maybe that'll be the first time on this show.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that Davis has made a big mistake here by reclassifying. I actually had him penciled in as the starting quarterback in Norman for the game for Georgia against Oklahoma in 2023. I feel like I need Davis as my quarterback there that day. So him reclassifying to the class of 2024, that's actually a pretty big disappointment for me, Jeff, because I don't know who Georgia's starting quarterback in Norman's going to be as of yet. I had Davis as at least one of the candidates to do that. I'm obviously kidding when I say that. But it's just kind of funny when it comes to future Georgia schedules and future Georgia players, it feels like we're talking about like Buck Rogers in the 21st century type stuff when it comes to some of these years.
Brandon, you can rest. You'll probably just have to make do with either Gunnar Stockton or Caleb Williams there while you're conjuring all those things up there. for your Norman 2024 quarterback.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're paying way a lot of attention into very deep in the future, which is pretty interesting. Let me deal with something more of the here and now here for a moment. I believe you mentioned this on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger on Wednesday. I don't care about this. I think that, you know, guys that are coming to Georgia should feel free to take a trip around the country, around the world if they can. I don't mind, you know, UGA guys taking visits, but sounds like Kelee Ringo may be officially visiting. Is it Oregon this week? Is that where Ringo is expected to go? Can you give us an update on Mr. Ringo here for a moment?
Yeah, Mr. Ringo is going to be in Colorado for Oregon for the Colorado matchup. That's one of those. I think it's played on Friday. I'm not sure if that's on Friday or Saturday game. I think it's on Friday, but he'll get a chance to check out a Georgia-type defense with Mel Tucker leading the Buffaloes there. I always find it interesting. We talked about this on the Edges earlier this week. Ringo is going to be there for Oregon during the Colorado weekend, but Noah Sewell, because he'd already probably planned this trip, he's going to be in Texas A&M for Alabama, Texas A&M. And one of those few remaining Plum home games for Oregon, especially for the premise of getting both Ringo and Sewell there to kind of mesh together and feel what it would be like to wear orange, black, neon, green, azure, blue, diamond, chrome. I think I got all the colors right. Maybe I might missing another fire yellow or something like it, like that in there, but to wear those colors together. Be very interesting. You've got those two guys. Everybody, they watch the Hedges program on Wednesday. They also know that Theo Johnson is taking another one-day trip to Iowa as well to check out that school. Might be one of his last visits to Iowa as he considers them, along with Penn State, Michigan, Georgia, and some now kind of late interest from Alabama too. So the Theo tour continues, and it's kind of like a predicated walk for a lot of guys out there that want to see commitment, because I think the number now is 56 days since Georgia had a 2020 commitment. That was Cedric Von Prahn back on August the 17th. A lot of people have their own predetermined finish lines for the release of their decisions. So I know that grind is getting to folks. At least it is on the Dog Nation forum.
So it's sort of hard to follow other recruiting program or other teams recruiting storylines as closely as you follow Georgia's. There's just only so many hours in the day. So admittedly, I don't know the answer to the question I'm about to ask you. When it comes to Georgia, who has a, you know, lot of irons in the fire, and Dog fans for the most part feel pretty good about guys like Ringo, and I think there's a growing sentiment that Georgia feels like it's very in it when it comes to Noah Sewell, but nowhere near seeing those guys commit. Maybe the same thing for Washington as well, you know, some of the other names we talk about. How similar or different is Georgia to other programs? I mean, is everybody kind of playing the waiting game right now? Is Georgia doing this in a way that other programs kind of aren't? As I said before, I'm not following the other programs every single day with their recruiting twists and turns as close as I'm following Georgia. How unique is it that Dog's in a position when it comes to 2020s and really 2021s as well, where they are just waiting and waiting and waiting for the lures to produce the fish?
Yeah, lures, that's a good way to put it, Brandon. It's funny how Georgia recruiting has changed. Not a lot of people focus on where the program is rated right now as much as the names left to drop or the names that are definitely in the crosshairs for the staff. I think it's more important to the fan base right now to get the guys that they feel the program needs and then see where the official rankings pop up. You know, Brandon, that's a good question. One of those things we try to do on a timely matter on the side is put kind of together a snapshot, you know, big picture, you know, out route view, 10,000 route view of Georgia recruiting and where it stands. And Georgia right now is sixth, I believe. And the interesting thing about Georgia being sixth is they're the only school in the top six that has fewer than 20 commitments. I think Clemson has 20, Alabama has 22, Ohio State has 23, LSU has 21, Texas has 20, and then you got Georgia right there with just 16 public commitments, and that's why they're sixth right now. Interesting to see. I think Auburn was the next best SEC team, and they have 19 or 20 commitments at last recall, if I have that correctly. Georgia, again, is the only school that's still definitely in their teenage years and still just driving in terms of the number of commitments they have when everybody else, including the nation's leader, have upwards of 20 commitments already. I think that bodes well for how Georgia will finish and how it will shoot up those rankings to be a top one, top two type school in 2020.
want to ask you about Zachary Evans here coming up in a moment, but here on Dog Nation, like presented by Kroger, before we get to that, I do want to remind you about my friends at the Atlanta North Georgia Building Trades Council. Now, for those of you that do this kind of construction work for a career, one of the things you're always thinking about is, you know, how do you get more money in your pocket and have a better quality of life? Well, that's what the ANG TBC is dedicated to doing. That's the economic stability of organized construction workers in North America. They create more work opportunities, living wages. They protect your benefits. You can also earn while you learn with no tuition apprentice training. You can earn as much as $100,000 while you're serving your apprenticeship. They also offer employer-paid pension and insurance and wages up to 30% higher than non-union workers. And this isn't just for men. This is for men, women. Everyone's encouraged to apply. So if you're in this industry, let me give you a couple of things you're going to want to know. The website to get in touch and the phone number. How about GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com? That's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com, or you can give them a call at 404-584-0005. That's 404-584-0005. Jeff, I told you I wanted to ask you about Zachary Evans. This is kind of the obligatory part of our interviews each and every week when you join us. And there's all kinds of chatter this week about Evans and LSU. I guess there's been some reporting out there that he might be in Baton Rouge for the LSU-Florida game on Saturday. And here's what I said yesterday, and you can kind of tell me if this is an incorrect thing to say. I think it's really weird that every rumor that pops up with Evans is like never Texas A&M. It's always he's about to commit to Georgia, or now he's all about LSU. You don't have to look very far on the internet to find people who are saying, you know, some version of that. And somehow it's like never Texas A&M. They weren't one of his listed finalists, and yet he still kept visiting there. They're not one of the schools he's been rumored to commit to, although there's plenty of industry folks who might think that's eventually where he lands. Am I wrong to say it's just a little bit weird that every rumor that comes up is, like, weirdly never about Texas A&M, even though I think you would say the Aggies remain very much in this for Evans? Of all the things that are unusual about Evans, that aspect of this just seems to be the most intriguing to me, the fact that someone somewhere seems to be working really hard to make people think he's not going to Texas A&M.
Yeah, Brendan, I think that the kindest way we can discuss the ebbs and flows of young Zachary Evans' mind is to say, I'll just borrow the word you use, call them intriguing. There are lots of intriguing things that Zachary Evans has done over the past, you know, 6 or 7 months with his recruiting. I think he's, a lot of reports out there have him going to be at LSU this weekend, so it wouldn't surprise me if he's a surprise visitor at Texas A&M, or he's a surprise visitor up in Oregon with Colorado and Key Domingo, for that matter. And it's also intriguing that I think Texas A&M really needs to put on a very good show, and maybe just show that they're only a good running back or an elite running back away from toppling mighty Alabama to catch Zachary Evans' further interest going forward in that matchup. But, you know, one of the things I was expecting, and I guess it's kind of just where things are right now, Brandon, that it's reached the point where, you know, there's some interesting visitors, official visitors across the SEC, and maybe we should maybe make this a dedicated topic to talk about every Friday about where folks are going. Tariq Gilbert is reportedly going to be in LSU taking his official visit for that game. Definitely that's not drawing the raised eyebrows that we thought it might have about 5 or 6 months ago. E.J. Smith, remember that name, is another one of those potential running back targets for the field for Georgia in 2020. He's also going to be at Texas A&M this weekend because Texas A&M appears to be in its final five as well. So if Texas A&M can't reel in-state Zachary Evans, then they're also trying really hard and digging in their heels for E.J. Smith as well. So some of those more intriguing official visitors. Don't have an official visitor that I know of right now for Georgia or South Carolina on Saturday. Although, you know, lots of those 2021s are trickling in, and you know, some of the mainstay 2020 commits will also be there.
So and I was going to ask this, but I will on the way out the door. I'm going to say goodbye to you after this. So Gilbert's coming to Georgia next week. You think he still takes that official visit? Is that still going to go down, you think?
I don't know, man. For some reason, it would just feel like, you know, Gilbert's got a couple of candidates, and if he doesn't take that one to Kentucky, it would seem by and large that the only one left for him to take would be to the Texas A&M game as well. That might be deep when Marietta High is really deep in playoff contention as well as one of the better teams in Georgia's largest classification this fall.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. And, Jeff, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Athens tomorrow. You'll be a part of our Pella Window postgame show immediately after the game at the UGA bookstore. And, of course, you'll be all about the stadium and getting pictures and hanging out with fans and talking some football, and it's gonna be a fun day in Athens tomorrow. I'm looking forward to being back between the hedges, and I'm looking forward to seeing you, Jeff. Thanks for being a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today.
All right, Brandon, be well, everybody. See everybody in Athens town.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So Jeff mentioned Ringo being in Eugene for the game against Colorado tonight. I said this on our comment section on video last Friday. I've really gotten into Friday football. Now, I used to be, like, morally opposed to it because of the fact that I think of that as the high school football night. But they've done a pretty good job of finding some pretty good games. All this is, of course, luck. You never know which game's going to be good and which game's not. But there have been some pretty fun Friday games this year. Tonight, you've got Miami, Virginia. Virginia, the ranked team on the road. I believe Miami's actually favored in the game, yeah. And then you've got Oregon and Colorado. That game doesn't kick till 10. So this is going to be a little bit of a tricky needle to thread. Game that starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. Georgia starts the following day at noon Eastern. I'm probably leaving my house tomorrow by, what, 6:30, 7 in the morning, something along those lines. There's not a great chance of me seeing a ton of Mel Tucker's team fighting against the Oregon Ducks tonight, but I'll be cheering for Coach Tucker in spirit. As far as a few other games that I do plan on watching, at least as much as I can, let's do our MyBookie Best Bets as part of our SEC Through, and I'll give you a couple quick thoughts on what I expect to happen for the big games here this weekend. Of course, I told y'all last week, I went 1-7 on my picks against the spread. That's almost impossible to do, and yet I think it's the second time this year I've only gotten one game right out of 8, so obviously you can pick games better than me, and if you can, you ought to make some money off your expertise by going to my friends at MyBookie and opening up an account. And when you do so, they've got a great incentive for you to get started. You can double your first deposit. You can get a big, I think it's up to $1,000 bonus you can get as a thank you to you for signing up. And by the way, that makes you a winner before you even place your first bet. You can't beat that. They've also got, you know, the best player perks in the industry. They have the fast, no-hassle payment when you win. Those are the things that have made MyBookie famous. It's one of the reasons why you're going to like doing business with them, but you got to find them online. MyBookie, type that in. And then use the promo code DOGNATION to get the big first deposit bonus. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. But you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION to get the deposit bonus online. Find MyBookie, and then you're in there to do that. Let's rattle through a few of these here kind of quickly. Let me start with Mississippi State going to Tennessee, and the Bulldogs are favored by 6.5 points. I have one very simple thing to say about this game. If Mississippi State loses, be prepared to live in a world where Joe Moorhead is the head coach at Rutgers, because he's gone from Starkville if you can't win this game, whether it be the end of this year or, you know, just kind of whenever. The guy who knows the Northeast, came down here not really knowing the Southeast. If you can't win as a touchdown favorite at Tennessee, you're in trouble. Now, I think that Tennessee is just bad. I know there's been a little bit of a pat on the back because the passing game was going in the first half against Georgia. I don't expect that to continue. I'm going against the Vols this week, even though they're catching points at home. I like Mississippi State here. I think Alabama-Texas A&M is actually a very simple game to handicap. A&M is just awful at home. Kirk Herbstreit got in a little bit of trouble for saying that this week. He said, when's the last time they won a big game in College Station? And a lot of Aggies fans kind of got upset with that, same way any college fan base would get upset when they felt like they were being slighted by a big national name like that. But it's not an unfair question for Herbstreit to ask. Texas A&M has a loud crowd, a huge stadium, some of the best traditions in college football, but they laid down in every one of these big home games. They did it a couple of weeks ago against Auburn. So 17 points, nowhere near enough for me to consider taking Texas A&M. The weird thing about Alabama, too, is when you look at their overall record against the spread, they're not always great as like a 30-plus point favorite, not always great as a narrow favorite, but when you kind of get them in that sort of Bama zone of two touchdowns, between two and three touchdowns, for the most part, those are opponents they dominate, and A&M just can't run the football, and it's hard to stay close with Alabama if you can't run it. I like Alabama here in this football game. I also like Missouri at home against Ole Miss, and probably like this as much as any game on the board here this week. I just look at a Missouri team, despite the fact they've been kind of beaten up on the defensive side of the ball a little bit, they've done a really good job of shaking off that week one loss to Wyoming. They're playing better football, as I said before. I have a little bit of respect for South Carolina, the team that Georgia's playing tomorrow. Missouri dominated that team in its own stadium. I think that if they can do that to South Carolina, they can pretty easily do that to Missouri. Missouri's been a little bit hot lately. A lot of times I like going against a team that's been hot. This gives me an opportunity to do that. I like the Missouri Tigers as a MyBookie best bet for tomorrow. Kentucky hosting Arkansas. By the way, this is Georgia's next week's opponent. I think Kentucky's just flat out terrible. I don't think Arkansas is very good either, but Kentucky's in all likelihood starting a wide receiver quarterback. That's all I need to know. I think Arkansas can find a way to keep this close because I simply don't have respect for Kentucky at the moment. And the West has been better than the East. Bad West team playing a bad East team. I actually like the bad West team there in that spot. We've talked a lot about Florida LSU this week. I'll give you a couple quick thoughts on that here too. Ultimately, this comes down to a situation for me of the LSU passing game is just too much for Florida to keep up with. Now, I know there's the flip side of that coin of, yeah, but you got to be able to, you know, to handle that Florida front seven. You got to be able to do all that. I totally get that. But this is a situation where last week Florida got a couple of gift touchdowns. And I don't say that as a Gator hater. I mean, there are a couple of touchdowns that made that game for them look more substantial and impressive than it otherwise would have been. But you're still asking Trask to do a lot on the road here, keeping pace with Joe Burrow, who is a legit Heisman contender in every sense of the word. That's the reason why I like Florida. I'm sorry, I should say that's the reason why I like LSU in this game. They're favored by 13. I think they win by more than that. I think that Florida starts to come back down to earth a little bit after this Saturday, although admittedly I was wrong about the Gators last week. So y'all can do with that what you want. Two big national games. Texas keeps it close against Oklahoma. And I think that Iowa keeps it close against Penn State. Maybe a little too much too soon for James Franklin and the Nittany Lions. But whatever your picks are, good luck with those, and we'll make that your SEC through for now. All right, I'm going to do our Kroger kickoff in a moment and look ahead to the weekend. We'll kind of set the stage for our broadcast time. We were going to play a little bit of audio of Kirby a little earlier talking about Georgia and his desire to see the Dogs be aggressive. Can I hear that clip as a way of setting up something on Jake Fromm? Here's Kirby on what he sees when he thinks about a chance to be aggressive as a head coach. You're smart.
I've always looked at it as you want to be the aggressor, not the one receiving the blow. We want to be the hammer, not the nail. And that's the way we go about things. We're aggressive. If we think something's there, whether it's starting the game off against South Carolina 2 years ago or it's fourth down and one, I mean, it doesn't matter. If we think it's there and we think we've got an advantage, we always try to look. We want to keep pressure on the other team. And you keep pressure on the other team by looking for strengths of yours or weaknesses of theirs that you think that you can take advantage of. But we're always trying to be the hunter and not the hunted.
The reference to South Carolina from 2017 was Georgia starting that game off with an onside kick. That was the thing that Georgia did to start that game there that day. That's why he referenced that in terms of being aggressive. And it's interesting to hear Smart talk about his desire to be aggressive in the same week where some Georgia fans on our program have said, boy, we'd like to see Smart be a little bit more aggressive when it kind of matters, especially when it comes to his quarterback, Jake Fromm. Now, earlier in the show, I said, I think the place you identify to either see if that's happening or not is on second down. Second seven or longer, Pro Football Focus says Georgia's running the ball in that spot almost more than any other team in America is. That can be turned into a passing down for UGA. Now, the flip side of that is, one of the things that's made Georgia successful are getting those running yards on second seven, setting up third down to be a little shorter. So you're going to lose a little efficiency if you chase that explosiveness, but for Georgia, ultimately, that might be a trade-off worth making. The other big takeaway from the Pro Football Focus piece on Fromm is, and I'm a little skeptical sometimes of their numbers and things like that. I'm not quite sure how much I believe in all the things they do in comparison to some of the other analytical sites, but they're essentially touting him as the best quarterback in America right now based on their own metrics, and you can believe that or not. You can care about that or not. What made the Pro Football Focus article, and I'll put a link to it when we post the show at DogNation.com later on, what made it interesting for me is they've got him much better in some regards this year than they had him at this same point in 2018. So they're not just praising Fromm kind of hollowly or flippantly. They're kind of making a comparison where he's better in 2019 than 2018. Overall, is a pretty good read, and it backs up what a lot of Georgia fans have kind of hoped for, which is that George would notice these same things about Jake and give him a chance to use Kirby Smart's word, be more aggressive, especially when you have the choice of running the football, the choice of doing something a little safer, maybe kind of test the limits with Jake here a little bit, and maybe the South Carolina game for Georgia provides an opportunity to do that. Of course, all eyes on Athens for tomorrow, and with that in mind, we'll do our Kroger kickoff here. We kick off the weekend at Kroger, and that means getting ready for everything you've got going on for a game day or the weekend in general, and that also means a chance to remind you of everything we have coming up on the broadcast calendar, everything that UGA has on its athletic calendar. So here's a couple reminders on that. Tonight, basketball season, Stegmania. It's kind of the season kickoff event there for that. That's there at Stegman Coliseum. Of course, Dog Nation will have coverage of that. But Bill Goldberg's going to be there. They got some musical guests, and it's a chance to see Anthony Ant-Man Edwards in a Georgia basketball uniform for the first time. So Stegmania, kind of a fun kickoff. They've done a pretty good job of promoting this in and around Athens, and so I know a lot of folks are going to be there and looking forward to that. Dog Walk tomorrow is 9:45 a.m. That means we'll be on air for our Kroger kickoff at approximately 9:30 in the morning, kind of setting the stage for the day in Athens and showing you the dog walk live when it happens. Of course, kick between the Dogs and the Gamecocks is at noon. We'll be busy in the forum at forum.dognation.com, getting you ready for all of that and talking about what's going on there. And, of course, live updates at dognation.com there as well. And then after the game, immediately after the game, in the UGA bookstore, stop on by and see us. If you're going to the game, we'll do the Pella Window post-game show, and we'll talk to you about everything that went down between the Dogs and the Gamecocks, and hopefully Georgia getting a big win and setting itself up for Kentucky the following week and everything to come after that. So it's a busy week for us, and it's all presented by Kroger with our Kroger kickoff here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger as well. All right, and by the way, speaking of our friends at Kroger, don't forget Halloween is on the way here, and that means you can get fresh frights right there at your local Kroger. You can save on everything from home decor. We've already stocked up on a bunch of that kind of stuff in my house. Costumes, and of course, those spooktacular sweets. I like to say that. Kroger's even got great savings when you do use your Kroger Plus card on Hershey's assorted sweet tart candy and a whole lot more. So make sure you check that out at your local Kroger. And by the way, also hope you'll see us next Thursday. That's October 17th. The Marlows and Dunwoody for our Marlows matchup. Looking ahead to the Kentucky Wildcats, then we'll be there at the Dunwoody location, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. We'll see you there, myself and John Stinchcomb, at 6 p.m. for our Marlows matchup in Dunwoody next week on Thursday night. Can't wait to do that. Also, can't wait to watch the Florida Gators hopefully lose tomorrow. That's what we're rooting for here. And if you feel the same way, I'm sure you love our Gator Hater Updater. 1,077 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia, and that number's going to keep going up. We'll see you back here Monday, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.